Okay, we will now convene the City of Daytona Beach, October 14, 2014, Special Magistrate Proceedings. Now call the meeting to order. At the outset, I reviewed, approved, and executed the minutes of the September 9, 2014 meeting. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bukelja. There is one case that is in compliance that's not reflected on your agenda. Number 11, SMG 101466 for 200 Main Street. It's in compliance as of October 13th.
Space Coast Credit Union?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I believe that is it.
All right. Very good. We're going to start this morning's meeting by addressing the miscellaneous business we have, Helena W. Montgomery Revocable Trust. If there's anyone here for the respondent, please step forward.
Are you going to be providing any testimony?
No, I don't think we don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm just all here.
Okay.
Okay, who's appearing for the respondent?
Michael Clower, attorney for Ms. Montgomery.
Very good. It's my understanding we have some sort of a stipulation with regard to this matter between the respondent and the city?
Yes, sir.
And what would that be?
The city is asking for you to vacate the previous order that imposed fine lien and instead to add a new owner as the respondent.
Who's the new owner?
I am Kim Law.
Kim what?
Law, L-A-W.
We're actually closing this week, Your Honor, so.
Okay. All right, I interrupted you. Add new owner. You told me who that was. What else?
And then amend the compliance date to the December cutoff with the November progress report.
And the December cutoff, of course, would be December 3, 2014.
Right.
And the November progress report, it would be at the meeting on November 11, 2014. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
All right. Counsel, what say you to that?
We're in agreement with that.
All right, Ms. Law, what say you to that?
Let me just swear her in.
Okay.
Can you raise your right hand, please, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. If you could just help her to the microphone, please, so we can get her
right
record. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Law, I assume you're buying this property?
Yes, sir. For me and my daughter.
You're agreeing to appear as the respondent in this matter?
Yes, sir.
And you understand that there's a list of violations to be corrected?
Yes, sir.
And I guess the stipulation that we're talking about suggests or says that you'll be complete with those, you'll be in compliance on those matters by December 3 of 2014. You understand that?
Yes, sir. But at the rate we're going, it shouldn't be a problem, sir. Yeah, we've made...
And then lastly, we'll be looking for a progress report from whichever of you wants to come and do it on November 11 of 2014. So you're in agreement with all that?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I will go ahead and order that our previous order imposing fine lien be vacated, that Ms. Law be added as a respondent, and that we will amend the old compliance date to the December 3, 2014 cutoff. With a progress report due on November 11 of 2014. And if the property is not in compliance by December 3, 2014, the respondent may be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. There. Now, all that having been said, if you run into any problems along the way that are going to delay your compliance, get in touch with your inspector over there. He'll be your best friend, and as long as he tells me you've been in communication with him, then everything will be fine.
Yep, not a problem, sir.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Now, returning to our agenda, we have lien review number one, Samuel Merrill, 535 Brentwood Drive.
Actually, Mr. Bukelja, there's a new owner for that. It's the SRB Servicing LLC. I believe they should have an attorney here.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Brian Kiefer, and I'm here to represent SRB Servicing, which is the present owner of the property, having taken the property back with a foreclosure.
Okay. We have an order imposing a fine of $150 per day imposed as of October 8, 2009. Compliance, May 14, 2010. Total amount of lien, $15,000. So I assume that means it capped out at $15,000.
And Mr. McKelvin, there's actually lien review number one and lien review number two. It's the same property owner. The circumstances is there were two liens. You had the cap lien and then you had an additional lien. So you may want to deal with all of that as one.
So say, Mr. Kiefer, shall we combine them?
Whatever pleases the court. I think we have two separate issues, two separate arguments, but I'll address it as you wish, sir.
All right, well, let's just work our way through it.
Very good.
With regard to the first one, description of hardship. Mortgage lender failed to name city as a defendant in a foreclosure suit. Lender will have to re-foreclose on property to remove lien recorded at OR book whatever, requesting city to voluntarily release the lien rather than re-foreclose. And what's the city's position here as far as this lien review request is concerned?
The city is willing to reduce the lien to 10%, which is $1,500. And that's 10% of what, as you had expressed, where it maxed out. I think it had actually improved to something like 30-something thousand dollars, and then through our max out process, was maxed out at $15,000.
All right, Mr. Kiefer, the city is proposing that they would be amenable to reducing the amount of the lien to the sum of $1,500. What say the respondent?
Sir, that's quite reasonable, but just so that I'm clear, are we referring to the lien that was recorded in 2009 or the lien that was recorded in 2012?
Says OR Book 6730, page 977 in 2012, according to my lien review request.
Well, that's acceptable, Your Honor.
Let's divert for a moment. What is the second lien review request? Same house?
Same property.
Carl Woods, now owned by SRB Servicing. Cited for failure to correct violations, order imposing fine $150. That fines the sum of $1,020.84. What does the city propose to do with that lien?
No, the city proposed to likewise reduce that to $150.
All right, well, then here's what we'll do. The $1,500 you agreed to pay will cover both of those liens, and they'll both be satisfied. Does that take care of what you need?
It's a satisfactory, Judge, but if I could just be heard on one point so that right. we're all communicating. And I'm sure it's my fault. I've got an order imposing lien against Mr. Merrill, which was dated in 2009, 640, page 515, and I think that's the one that capped out at the $15,000 or the $30,000. Mm-hmm. At the time that lien was recorded, Mr. Merrill did not own the property. My client, SRB Servicing, had taken a quitclaim indeed in lieu of foreclosure prior to that date. And if I may approach, I'd be glad to show the court these two documents.
So what's the point?
So the point is, at this time this lien was recorded, it would not be a lien against the subject property because Mr. Merrill did not own the subject property at the time the lien was recorded.
All right.
It's a chronological issue.
The point being
that since Mr. Merrill did not own this subject property, it would not be a lien against the subject property, but rather against Mr. Merrill only.
So what do you want to do?
I'm asking that with regards to this lien with Mr. Merrill, that it be released in its entirety with no financial compensation.
Well, that's a different matter. What say the city to that?
Well, I'm not sure I'm following everything because I'd have to look at it closely, but I think the ultimate point is if indeed you feel that as a matter of law the lien is no good, then you don't need any action. And if you don't need the action, then we always are fine with you taking that position. But then our position is that our records remain as they remain and you can proceed, you know, as we stand. If you believe you need action, our recommendation is that it be reduced and reduced as we previously recommended.
All right, Judge, we'd like to get this matter resolved today, and the city's position certainly is reasonable, so I'll yield to that. I think the court was making a kind of a global pronouncement on both liens, which I think would be satisfactory.
I mean, if you want to if you want to have a more extensive hearing on this matter so that I can allow the city the opportunity to do whatever they need to do to respond to the argument you've just raised, then we'll set it for next month.
That might be more preferential, Judge, because also I've discovered in my research this morning there's a third lien on the property that is not on today's agenda that I believe needs to be addressed also. So if it would please you, I would request that we continue the matter. I'll get with the clerk, and perhaps I can get with counsel, get with the city, and address it.
I said the city.
I don't have any objection, Your Honor. That's what I said. In open court is what I would have said to him on any private conversation, which is if indeed he believes that it has no effect as a matter of law, then that's fine. But if he needs us to take an action, then we're going to do a process, whether it's an administrative process or we'll come back for a legal review of this.
Are you counsel for the special magistrate?
No, sir. Well, kind of. It's a little odd, but, okay. You know, I'm counsel for the code board, and by the way, the statute defines, I guess, arguably I'm counsel for the magistrate somewhat. But I can't be, because I'm counsel for the staff.
You're not counsel
so
for
I can't
the
be,
board.
And I'm not counsel for the
no.
Oh, so I'm counsel for nothing anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering, as I'm listening to these two arguments, if I'm supposed to be listening to you, because you're my attorney. That's what I'm wondering.
Not necessarily. I guess... I'm counsel for the staff. I'm
still
speaking back historically.
Well, you can address that too. Because my point is, if it turns out you're my attorney, then that means I would probably be assigning more weight to what you had to say in any event. And I'm just speaking out loud to give Mr. Kiefer here the lay of the land when you all return. All right,
Your Honor, if I may.
Sure.
I have this third lien, which is a utility lien, be a different matter. What I would propose to the court is if we can settle both of these two matters on today's agenda for the $1,500, I think that makes judicial and economic sense for my client. So we can go that way, and I'll deal with this utility lien in another way.
All right, fair enough. All right, then with regard to lien review number one, regarding 535 Brentwood Drive, previously owned by Mr. Merrill, and with regard to lien review number two, regarding 535 Brentwood Drive, previously owned by Mr. Woods, presently owned by SRB Servicing LLC, and I'll order that the amount of the lien for the two cases combined be reduced to the sum of $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days. Does that take care of that?
Takes care of that for me, Judge.
There you go. There's a 30-day payment requirement, and I ought to let you know if it's not paid within 30 days, then the amount of the lien reverts to the original full lien amount.
Understood, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
Good luck to you. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Should I email these documents to you or go through legal still?
All right. Next case. Photo Group Incorporated is in compliance. Paul B. Porter is in compliance. Michael A. Hughes and Kathy Ann Hughes are in compliance. So the next case we have is Grover J. Dezern. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
This case is another one of those interesting cases. The city's
have a good day.
Thank you.
The city's going to ask to continue this, and I don't know if anyone told me. But hold on a second. If I may,
just talk to the minister.
I don't know if we just have this. We have this figured out because we're asking the compliance to be bending.
Well, if that's accurate. That was it's cold, but.
This one's going to be done.
No.
Well, I'm sorry, that's not a good phrase. The city's asking to continue this to our next meeting. Now, there's a couple of issues, and they really became more pointed to me over the last 12 to 15 hours. this property is, the owner that we have listed is deceased, but he is the owner that's listed on the tax roll. Our research, we found that there is a certificate of title that it actually transferred the ownership to Fannie Mae, care of SunTrust, back in 2009. So before I move forward with imposing a lien on Fannie Mae, I just wanted to make sure I can get all the details clear. It's a relatively fresh circumstance from that in that regard. What we were proposing was to impose a fine, but we do want to make sure we have a notice to the right places and the right people, and so if we can continue to the next cutoff to make sure we got everything properly in order.
The property appraiser's website is still showing Mr. Tazer, and that's where the confusion was. And in researching, trying to find if there was an error or something, Mr. Tazer saw the certificate of title after the fact. So maybe.
And we're satisfied he's deceased. Well, even if he's not deceased, he's not owner, based on what you found.
Right.
Okay.
It's just not according to the county records at this point.
Yeah, there seems to be just a little bit of confusion or unclarity in the public record. So as soon as we can get that all clarified, we think we should not be proceeding with imposition of fine, but rather making sure we have the right parties.
God knows I'm confused. I will continue to the November 11, 2014 meeting.
Thank you.
Case number 5, King Serain Properties Incorporated. Yes, sir, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
Yeah, my name is Keith King. And it's Cerami, is how his last name is pronounced.
Raise your hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. You said it was Keith King?
Keith King, correct.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of fines, so let's ask the city. Why is it that you want to fine this corporation?
As you see, these are numerous items that are in non-compliance. This arose as tenant problems. We've had little effort from the owner, and so we're asking for a position of a fine of $200 per day to $15,000. I tend to the inspector for this case is Michael Fitzgerald. If there's any other questions, I'll tend to Mr. Fitzgerald.
Okay, if I can say something real quick.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
What they did is they knocked down that one building, but I haven't seen any permits for the roof on the structure in the backyard. I guess all the doors, my last inspection, were still the same. So the only thing that they had done on my list was the knock down the building in the back. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. As far as I know, we're in the process of evicting her right now, and she's actually I have letters and everything. She's supposed to be out there by tomorrow, I believe.
And it's still in the house.
Yes. And the problem is when our guys go out there.
Wait a second.
Okay.
All right. First notification, March 2014. Accessory structures, shed, glass, exterior doors, roof, interior surfaces, water damage. Okay. First notified March. Supposed to be corrected June. Notice of hearing in August. Order of non-compliance telling you to come into compliance. October 8th. Okay. We're here on the 14th. So you're 6 days overdue? That's why I'm understanding the paperwork right now?
Yeah, and I called you last week on that, right?
Okay, all right. So what's the issue with compliance? You started off by telling me first off you have a tenant in there.
Yeah, and she is being evicted. I do have the letters and everything that she's supposed to be by tomorrow. The problem is I believe she will not let us in there to do any work when our guys show up there. He has tried numerous times to go there and do the work and just won't let us in, and she's way behind on rent. I'm just tired of it. I want to get her out.
When is she expected out?
Tomorrow is the fifth day. It was served. She was served last Wednesday.
Okay, so this whole time that you've been required to come into compliance, she's been occupying the unit.
Correct.
Turning away your workers.
Correct.
All right. And she's still in there now.
Yeah.
You've commenced eviction proceedings.
Absolutely.
She's supposed to be out tomorrow.
Right.
All right. How much time, assuming you have unfettered access to the property as of tomorrow, the day after that, how much time would you expect it to take to come into compliance on the matters you've been cited for?
As long as she's out of there by tomorrow, 30 days. We don't intend to rent this again either. We intend to just to sell it, get rid of it.
Okay, so you're amenable to it not being rented, used, or occupied until it's in compliance?
Not by us. No, I want to get rid of it.
Because if you do that, then I'm going to give you a little additional time because you don't have 30 days between now and our next cutoff.
Okay,
what say the city?
We're okay with the additional...
All right, I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 3, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for a fine in the amount of $1,000 per day, and that further required that the property not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until such time as it's brought into compliance.
That's fine.
Permits be pulled.
Okay, good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Case number 6, Community Dynamics Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, as you may recall, we had an interesting conversation regarding this case last time. This is the one where the respondent, it's a commercial building, the respondent, when he came the very first time, he had indicated that, and we had acknowledged that he had replaced windows, or that he needed to replace windows. At the first time he said he needed to replace them, but they keep breaking them out, so he wanted to board it up. We explained then that he couldn't board it up. At the last meeting, we kind of had a little discussion about the fact that, indeed, over the time of the noncompliance, that he did replace them again, and they were broken. We had advised you that we would make sure that he had been informed of alternatives. The inspector tells me that he had informed the respondent of the alternatives, that he could use plexiglass. But the property still remains in noncompliance. And so at this time, the inspector's requesting that we impose a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $20,000.
Okay. All right. Based on the report from the city attorney, noting the absence of the respondent, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing October 9, 2014 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached $20,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 7, Richard L. Grice. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Richard Grice.
Raise your hand, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Grice, your original violation says accumulation of trash, junk, and debris, parking on an unimproved surface. You were supposed to come into compliance by October 8, 2014. The city tells me you're not in compliance, and you are here now for the imposition of a fine. So let me hear from the city first. What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, as you may recall, the respondent was not here at the last meeting. The property remains in noncompliance. This was a citizen's complaint that initiated this violation. It's rental property. The city is asking for an imposition of a fine of $100 per day for a maximum of $15,000.
All right. Well, first off, has any of the trash, junk, and debris been removed?
I will defer to the inspector. The inspector in this case is Evan Lopez, and I will ask him to address those issues.
Mr. Vaccaro, as of my inspection on the 8th of October, it wasn't in compliance. We still had debris and tires and junk scattered throughout the property. I did speak with Mr. Grace earlier today. He stated that he has cleaned it up, and he's trying to evict the tenants. I have not been out as of today.
And we still have parking on the unimproved surface?
There was one vehicle at the time of my inspection that was still there on jacks that needed to be removed.
All right, what say Mr. Grice?
Yes, sir. The vehicle in question has been removed off the property. The RV, well, the picture was up, it's going now. The RV actually is owned by the tenant's relative, and I spoke to them and told them I need to have that vehicle completely removed off the property, which they're going to do. As far as the tenants themselves, there's been an ongoing problem with them. Every time I tell them to clean up the property, they do make an effort, but it seems to go right back to where it was. The tenants themselves, even I spoke with the code enforcement officer, I guess it's been sort of, they wasn't sure whether the RV should be parked at or what's approved, what's not approved. But anyway, I'm in the process of evicting them anyway, and I need to ask you, sir, to give me to, I guess I've heard the next cutoff date of December. They should be off the property, and everything should be cleaned up and everything. So I'm just asking for that time to just take care of all that.
You're asking until December 3 to do what? Evict your tenant?
Well, to have them completely evicted, because it normally takes about a month for that process. And then to have all the violations addressed, and well, which they are addressed as we speak. The RV has been moved to the rear. The junk vehicles are off the property, and I personally went over there and cleaned up a lot of the stuff myself. Unfortunately, the last inspection date had expired, because when I did call the code enforcement officer to have a date set for him to come back out, it was basically everything was cleaned up, and in a matter of 3 days, they just seem to just don't care, because they're not the ones that have to be brought in front of you. Unfortunately, it falls on the property owner, and they just don't seem to understand that, and that's why I'm done with them, and I serve them that they're about to be evicted.
What was the amount of the fine the city was looking for?
City was requesting $100 per day. Of course, the difficulty, Mr. Kelch, is that this rose as a citizen complaint, and you know, Mr. Grice is saying that it wasn't, it can be in compliance. However, I hear him saying that he has a problem with a tenant. We don't know why he didn't take any action sooner. Here it is. This has been going on since the beginning of July.
If you don't mind, sir, in my own defense, I have been speaking with the code enforcement officer, and I have made attempts to try to see that it does not go back to where it was. But unfortunately, these are grown people, and although I have gave them warnings, now I just have to just evict, which I'm at that point now, so I just need to just to have that time to go ahead and complete that process.
Well, the situation we have here is your problems becoming a neighborhood problem.
Well, the person that they're speaking of, I know him personally myself. His house is directly across the street from the property that I own, and he's trying to sell the property, and he feels that because of that, it's...
You're killing him.
Exactly.
Mr. McKelvin's inspector's position is, if indeed he's initiating eviction, he's willing to give him the time for that to occur. But he doesn't want it to just be the dread of eviction, but that it's actually being initiated, so that his circumstances, there's some promise that the circumstances will change.
So it's definitely not a threat. I'm definitely not calling Wolf. It's definitely not a threat. They are definitely going to be out of there.
How long does it take to conduct an eviction proceeding? I thought those things happened like in relatively short order.
They should. It's a lot easier when there's non-payment involved. So I'm not sure what the circumstance would be as far as time on a breach here or failure to maintain.
Okay. All right, I got good news for you and I got bad news for you. The good news is I don't feel like fining you $100 a day commencing October 9th. Bad news is I got to do something. So here's what I'm going to do. Today's the 14th. I'm giving you 30 days from today. And if the property is not in compliance by November 14, 2014, then I'm going to impose a fine in the amount of $75 per day to commence and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached what?
$15,000.
So what I'm basically doing here is telling you within 30 days something's got to happen. And I'm giving you time, 30 days, to get this figured out. And I don't mean to be rude, but if you got to go clean it up yourself, you go clean it up yourself.
I will.
Because you're right. It's your tenant. It's your responsibility.
Mm.
And I'm sorry that some tenants are better than others, but so be it. And that 30 days will also allow you time to at least initiate your eviction proceeding. And if it ends up that you run beyond that 30 days, but there is an eviction proceeding ongoing, and the presence of the tenant is keeping you from coming into compliance, then I'll be happy to take that into consideration. But as it stands right now, I'm giving you a 30-day reprieve until November 14th to come into compliance, or a fine in the amount of $75 per day will automatically go into effect and continue each day thereafter until you're in compliance, or the amount of the fine reaches $15,000.
I understand.
So I'm giving you 30 days to figure something out. I understand tenants can be a headache, and they can be complicated, so that's why I'm giving you 30 days to do it. Because the stuff we're talking about here would take a matter of an hour or two.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's nonsensical that you have to run the risk of a fine of $100 a day. I mean, as it is right now, you'd be $500 behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, there you go. Good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
New cases, Scott and Gwen Peterson. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
The inspector reports that this property is still in non-compliance. There's debris, outside storage, then landscaping is like a jungle. Non-compliance, next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay, based on our based on the attorney's report, noting the absence of a respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit to compliance by November 5, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 9, Ronald Helgema. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
This property remains in non-compliance, accumulation of rubbish and garbage. The inspector said, Lopez, he requests that you give the respondent tell the next cutoff to come to compliance.
Based on the attorney's report and noting the absence of the respondent, I order the respondent to come into compliance by November 5, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, Can Do Man, LLC. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Vekelja, we're going to ask you to continue this case to the next agenda, next meeting. He's working out some issues with permits and planning as far as number of units and so forth, and so we'd like to continue it before we proceed.
All right. Given the attorney's request for continuance, noting the absence of the respondent, I'm going to continue this matter to the November 11, 2014 meeting. Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, Karuna Holdings, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
This is no building permits. The respondent is in non-compliance.
That's in compliance.
Oh, okay. Correction from the inspector. The inspector indicates compliance. And I'm not sure of the date of that compliance, but that this property is now in compliance.
Very good. And let's move on to case 13. Dorothy M. Knapp. Yes, ma'am, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
Dorothy Murray Knapp.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, you have two cases. Your first case says infestation of bees. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I have heard from it from a neighbor, and I don't know what to do. I've called all Massey's, every place. I don't know who takes. I've called the environmental people. They said they're endangered species. I have no clue what to do. None. I mean, I just lost my husband 2 years ago. We had the bees probably for 4 or 5 years, and Cassis and Playboys. I just feel deliberately set this swing set under this window where these bees happen to be going in and out of this hole. It's about an inch round, and no one has ever got stung by a bee, no one. And the way the bee people talk is if you don't mess with them, they don't mess with you, but I have no clue.
And you got folks at Casa San Pablo saying they've been stung by them.
Well, I've been over there 100 times, and I know friends over there, and they say that is not so. The lady that runs the building, she just, you know, like, I really feel she just got it in for me. I have sprayed. I have cocked that up. I've done everything I could possibly done. I've called the pest control people. I had my son call the land bee people, you know, that's supposed to come out and take care of bees, and they say they're endangered. So I don't know. I truly don't know what to do about bees.
What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, I'm being told by the inspector that, as, and I believe the respondent has indicated the same, that the bees are embedded into the structure inside the building. And
that's fine.
Our issue is it needs to come into compliance. There's a senior
that one little hole right there.
There's a senior facility next door. It is a infestation of bees. It's a violation of the building code. And if she's taking all of these actions, obviously, she can show that she's doing that. I'm sure you consider those things, but we need it exhausted because the risk and the danger, as we all know, for a person who may have an allergy or anything else is just serious enough that we can't ignore it when there's complaints.
I have actually opened that window up. You'll see right where the hole is. There's
what
a
is
bedroom.
That bench I'm looking at right there?
That's on the senior citizens.
I have. It's on the west side. And they're going to talk about peeling paint, and that's on the east side where the sun comes out. But anyways, that hole, I have actually came out that bedroom window with all those bees flying around and took roach, you know, the hornet stuff, and went in there and sprayed, and they were swarming all around me, and I never got stung one time, you know what I'm saying? I've tried everything. I've thought about corking that up and trying to cover it over, but then where do they go from there? I mean, I just don't know what to do. I mean, I've called to see if somebody will come out and I called the land, I called Edgewater, I called all the pest control. They do not deal with bees. And then the people that I would think that would take care of the bees say that they're endangered. So I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, it would appear that there's definitely an infestation, and it would also appear that it's becoming a problem. And you have lots of complainants here who are concerned about it. And it sounds to me as though it's a problem you recognize exists, can't figure out what to do about it, and it sounds as though it's out of control. So that having been said, I find the respondent in non-compliance. How much time for the respondent to come into compliance?
Only thing I can do is make more. No one will help me. I mean, I call and I tell my problem, and I guess I can call those bee people that's over in Deland, Deltona, and see what they can do. Probably a week, I can get a hold of all of them.
I'd say the city.
That's exactly what the city was asking for, 7 days, because of the, and I know she said it's been a long time, and believe it up to you, but we're asking for 7 days just because of the life safety effect of this issue.
I have a live video also. There it is, right there. It's going. It's on the side, but we can. Well.
It stays in that one hole.
Yeah,
that
it's all,
is
but
just
it's also
paint.
In, there's
a crack, and that's going to be sealed up.
All in there, too, and it just, the swarm all around.
I mean, that bedroom window is upstairs right over them. I mean, the hole's right here in the bedroom, right here, and that bedroom window stays open, and we have no problem.
Right.
But I understand it could happen.
I'm going to allow the respondent 10 days to come into compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And if you keep running into trouble as far as getting anybody to help, I would make sure you document it all so you can report back to me the efforts that you've made to try to attend to this matter.
Okay. I will definitely
do
that.
Stay in touch with that inspector over there.
Which one?
Did we find him in non-compliance?
Found him in non-compliance. Told her to come to compliance.
I've tried to get a hold of, you know, I go to the city hall and I ask, can I see someone about these complaints? Oh, they're out. Never get a call back.
You don't need to worry about that. Let's go find some bee people, get out there and start killing some bees.
Gotcha on that part.
That's what we need.
Okay, the only other question I have is they say I've got peeling paint, which I do, on the east side.
Okay, hang on 1 second.
Of
Let's
my
turn
house.
Now to case 14. Again, Ms. Knapp, again, 216 Mullally Street. Built ramp without permit, outside storage, peeling paint, damage.
There's no outside storage. There is none.
Okay. Do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the violation?
And I cleaned it all up.
All right, hang on 1 second. Then I'll find the respondent in noncompliance. You're telling me now you've...
This was over a year ago. I cleaned the outside up. There is no outside storage.
Okay, what say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, the city says that she is still in non-compliance, not to do this to Inspector Danny Garcia as to the current status.
Code Officer Danny Garcia. I have not been called for a reinspection yet since then. I did speak to her once way back when. I spoke to also her son, but it was on the bee issue.
And my son also stated to you about the ramp. He's a home builder, and he built that, and he brought you down several layouts showing you that.
I haven't received any of the layouts. He must have brought it to permits and licensing, but I asked that he would speak to someone in permits and licensing and ask that if he didn't need one, a permit, than to put have in writing and then get with me, and I have not received that. I spoke to them downstairs, and they said that anything that was built needs a permit.
Right, and they also said to me that even though it had already been built, I could still pull a permit. And I do need that ramp because I am disabled in my back and my right leg. And so I do need the permit. Even to get up with my groceries to do anything. And that's why I have not complied with that, because that ramp will be there when the house is gone. My son's a home and construction, and he built that ramp, and my husband was 380 pounds, and I just lost him 2 years ago. It's really been hard, but he made that ramp, his father, for 22 years.
Ramp's good. Ramp will be there for a while.
When the house is gone, the ramp will be there.
Gotcha. Let's say the city.
The thing with the ramp, Mr. McCallum, is what they're looking for is an exceptional accommodation, and they would have to give those that approval from the building code. I mean, from the permits and licensing. The code in general says that the ramp can't be there. They believe that there's a possibility they can have the ramp, but they have to get with permits to get that approved.
And we did.
And that's the instruction that the inspector has given her. And if they can obtain that approval, then that would be a compliance. If it's not approved, then it will remain in noncompliance.
This lady can't build a ramp to walk up to her house if she chooses to have a ramp instead of stairs?
I'll have to, if you can explain that more, Mr. Garcia, as far as the status of what she can have and what she can't have.
She can have a ramp, she just has to get it approved, she has to get a permit for it.
And we've been down here at least three times for a
permit. I think there's a permanent attachment, that's an issue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Something about permanent attached versus a detached ramp?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think the issue is if it was a permanent attached ramp versus a detached ramp, but it's construction and permitting issues that would...
About wind loaded and whatnot and...
Get the mic.
All right. Okay, how much time to get the permit for the ramp?
Well, we're requesting the next cutoff to do everything.
Is the lady going to be able to get a permit for a ramp by the next cutoff?
It's a staff determination. You just have to go to permits and...
How long does it typically take to get a permit?
This situation should take less than a month. She should be able to do it by the next cutoff. That's what we believe.
Yes.
Yeah, what?
Yes, I'll have my son go back down there. I mean, you know how you got so many spaces that you're supposed to...
Okay, hang on a second. Talk for a while. Has the outside storage been taken care of?
Yes, it has.
How about the peeling paint?
The peeling paint's on the east side of my house, and I will take care of that.
All right, and how about the damaged fence?
The damaged fence, you know how you got wooden fence and it's got little panels? That's all it is. It takes 30 minutes.
Okay, so the peeling paint, you shouldn't have any trouble taking care of. The damaged fence, you shouldn't have no trouble taking care of. The outside storage is already taken care of, and now it's just a question as to how long it's going to take you to get the permit for the ramp.
For the ramp and get on those bees. I'll be on the phone all day, every day until...
Bees, I gave you 10 days.
Oh, okay.
So bees are number one right now.
Right, right.
Sounds like a football slogan.
Somebody should be able to tell me something. I have called and called.
All right, with regard to the ramp, the outside storage, the peeling paint, and the damaged fence, I'm going to give you till the next cutoff, which is November 5, 2014. To come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for a consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, if you run into problems with the ramp because of technicalities associated with...
The best thing to do is take it down.
No.
Oh.
The best thing is not to take it down. The best thing to do is document everything you do.
Right. And I will do that.
All right. I don't understand why you can't figure out this ramp. It's just a matter of permit unless it's going to get cost prohibitive.
I mean, this ramp is like...
I understand. It's built solid. I got that. But now my point is, stay in touch with your inspector as far as your efforts to get the permit. Sometimes it takes a little longer to get permits than people anticipate. So if you run beyond your cutoff date and you still haven't gotten your permit, you know, but you've been doing everything you can, just make sure you convey that to the inspector so the inspector will let me know that. And if you need more time to get that permit... Then we'll talk about more time to get your permit.
Okay, because my son brought down the layout, every space. I understand that's not your main concern right now.
No, I take your word for it.
I'm just saying, because my husband died, and I took care of him at home for 3 years, and I had to have that ramp to get him in and out, take him to dialysis.
I understand.
And there's no way that was going to hold him up. You know what I'm saying? So my son took every six spaces underneath the ramp and embedded solids, you know, 2x8s to make sure his dad wasn't going no place, and he's got railings going up the side so he can't go off the side. So, I mean, and I know with my back I was in a bad car accident, so I know I need it. I can't go anywhere without help.
I'm sure your son will be able to satisfy the city that the ramp is built.
Thank you.
Anyway, let's go through the formalities, get the permit issued, take care of those other items, and then this matter will be resolved.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you. Take care of those bees.
That's going to be my first visit.
Yeah, you got a bunch of neighbors next to you who are writing to the city. There's a long list.
That is all from Casas and Pele Blues.
Yes, well, you know, they got rights too. And
I understand that.
And get stung. So.
I know. Nobody likes to get stung. So.
All right, so take care of those bees.
I did a quick search here real quick. I've got a name, and I'm trying to print it out for you to see if maybe we can... I don't
know if you've tried them yet. You're talking to your hired killers.
Okay.
Your local company, they make sure.
Oh, thank you.
As a pest control company, I'm the best name, but that's...
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right, good luck to you. All right, did we have any other miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, we have nothing else, sir.
All right, then we are adjourned until we start our red light camera cases.